It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, there's been a lot of talk about the best ways to empower girls, and helping them cultivate their sense of humor could be one of the best ways to do that. We'll learn why in a bit.
First, after a long, long night, Congress has officially passed a spending bill, one that includes hundreds of billions of dollars in federal spending on the military, domestic programs, and disaster relief. But getting to that point was anything but easy. Thanks to a one-man protest from Republican Senator Rand Paul, Congress actually missed a midnight deadline to vote on funding, resulting in a brief government shutdown. Here's some of what the senator had to say.
The reason I'm here tonight is to put people on the spot. I want people to feel uncomfortable. I want them to have to answer people at home who said, how come you were against President Obama's deficits, and then how come you're for Republican deficits? Isn't that the very definition of intellectual dishonesty? If you were against President Obama's deficits and now you're for the Republican deficits, isn't that the very definition of hypocrisy?
It didn't take long after that for Congress to vote on the deal, and President Trump signed it into law this morning. But what exactly are we getting with this new budget deal, and what does it mean for the country's budget and the budgetary process as a whole?
Alex Rogers covers Congress as a staff correspondent for National Journal. Alex, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, give us the basics. What was in this funding deal that finally got passed bright and early this morning, or not even bright yet, just early this morning?
Sure. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, who you just heard, did make lawmakers uncomfortable. The Senate passed the deal at about 1:30 in the morning. The House then passed it at about 5:30 in the morning, making a lot of those septuagenarians have to stay up very early to pass this two-year budget deal, which does a number of things. It suspends the debt ceiling to March 2019. It keeps the government open through March 23rd of this year, giving Congress more time to strike a longer-term spending bill. And it busts the caps, about $300 billion over the next 2 years. So it's a major deal that Congress did in the wee hours of Friday morning.
And I had thought initially that this was going to solve the budget, no more debt ceiling, no more shutdown for quite a while. But no, not quite. You said there's this March 23rd deadline now. What has to happen between now and then?
That's right. So there's been five short-term spending bills since September. The government has just been lurching from, you know, crisis to crisis, and this two-year deal does provide some sort of certainty going forward. It allows the appropriators to write a bill that will at least last us through this fall. But that is right. There's now another short-term bill that goes to March 23rd. It's unlikely that we're going to be back in the same place where we could see another shutdown as we did briefly today and also 3 weeks ago. The bill does a number of things that allows both Democrats and Republicans to kind of get on board through spendings for various priorities, such as $90 billion in disaster relief for Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico, states that were devastated by hurricanes. So it really picks in a lot of different constituencies and jams them all together, and we're unlikely to see another shutdown showdown later this year.
This was bipartisan in the sense that people from both parties voted for it and people from both parties voted against it. Can you talk about the breakdown a little bit?
Sure. So the House passed it 240 to 186. The Senate passed it 71 to 28. There were Democrats who opposed this bill because it did not address the DACA population, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that shields deportation from hundreds of thousands of young adults who came with their parents as children illegally. And then there are also Republicans who didn't support this bill because it adds so much more to the debt. The country has $20 trillion in debt, and this bill escapes budget caps, as I was saying, by $300 billion. And as you heard from Rand Paul on the floor, it's probably not something that Republicans would have supported while President Obama was in office.
Talking to Alex Rogers from the National Journal about this budget deal reached late last night, passed through the course of the morning. Let's talk a little more about that deficit you were talking about, Alex. We just had the big tax overhaul bill that has a pretty big potential impact on the national deficit and the overall debt. And now this, is anybody but Rand Paul talking about the deficit right now?
Not many. In fact, there are a number of Republicans who were mad about Rand Paul taking to the floor, causing this brief government shutdown this morning. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, talked about Rand Paul's stance this morning, saying it's just further example of the dysfunction of this place. It's ridiculous, isn't it? So you're seeing a number of Republicans, even fiscal conservatives, who are frustrated by Senator Paul's stand this morning. There's a number of different things in this two-year deal that Republicans are happy about. It adds an additional $6 billion in funding to fight the opioid crisis, $20 billion to rebuild America's infrastructure, and an additional $165 billion increase in military spending. So Rand Paul is in a small minority here in the Senate, that's for sure.
I want to follow a couple different what's next paths. First of all, immigration. You mentioned some Democrats, especially in the House, voted against this because it didn't deal with DACA, the so-called Dreamers. Where are we? What are the plans to tackle that in both chambers?
That's a great question. So in the Senate next week, we're supposed to have a debate on this issue. And it's, you know, could be the most extensive one we've seen in 5 years. This is a question that has actually been knocking around Congress since 2001, when Congress first introduced the DREAM Act. And now, 17 years later, we're still talking about the fate of the so-called Dreamers that are protected by from deportation by an Obama-era program, the DACA program. And Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has said that there's going to be a debate next week, open amendment process. We don't know what the bill is yet. And we'll see what happens. I think that the observers in town in D.C. are skeptical. They think that a temporary solution is the most likely one because the White House and Democrats in the Senate especially are very far apart.
And speaking of temporary solutions, it seems like that's most of what we have for the budget itself. You mentioned a frustration on the Hill with this, you know, one crisis to another sort of method of dealing with the budget. I understand there's now a new committee in the works to try to solve the budget system, solve the process. What's going on?
So, like immigration, Congress has again and again tried to tackle the budget, trying to find a fiscally responsible solution for the country. This bill, in addition to the tax bill, would add trillions of dollars in deficit spending over the next decade. And so Congress is trying to say, okay, we did sign a tax cut last year that added $1.5 trillion over the next decade. We did just pass a two-year budget that sets a much higher new standard. What can we do to actually tackle this issue? And so some senators who were very concerned about the deficit at least got a new commission that can be that they're going to debate over the next year or so up through the fall to try to find a pathway forward on this. But we've seen again and again Congress fail to actually do so.
We've seen past commissions, right, or at least committees trying to do roughly exactly the same thing before, right?
Right. So during the Obama administration, there was a threat, a blunt across the board spending cuts it was a mechanism to try and force a debate because Congress wasn't actually getting together on this issue. They failed, and those cuts actually went into effect. And because of both Democrats who were trying to protect domestic programs and Republicans who were trying to protect military programs, they've just escaped those budget caps that were put in place in 2011 and went into effect in 2013. So we've seen Congress try to actually address the deficit and try to reduce spending. But right now, even though we're not in a recession, we're seeing deficit spending unlike we've seen really since the beginning of the Obama administration.
And very briefly, Alex, they've allotted this money for military and domestic programs. Do they know exactly how they're going to spend it, or does that still have to be hashed out?
So the $300 billion in additional spending, we do know the breakdown. It's $165 billion increase in military spending. The rest is for domestic programs. There's also, as I was saying before, you know, $20 billion for rebuilding America's infrastructure, $6 billion in funding to fight the opioid crisis, money for community health centers, a couple billion for the National Institutes of Health.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Alex Rogers from the National Journal, bringing us up to date on the spending plan that passed in Congress early this morning.